Hello and welcome back to the Killer Frogs bullpen. This is our 13th episode, lucky number 13 a little bit. I am back for the record, Carson. I do not hate you guys.
I don't believe you.
I did have better things to do, I will say that. I had to prepare for
Okay.
opening day for the Rangers, but I did
Okay,
not
sure.
hate you.
Just come out and say it. Just come out.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay.
Luckily for me, I didn't have to hate TCU baseball this weekend. No Nate this today for this episode. He hates us and has better things to do, of course.
That's right. Shift the blame to him. That's what you
Yes.
always do, JD.
Yeah, of course. Carson, how are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. How are you? How was opening day? Tell me about that real quick.
It was great. And if you're watching on video, I have a sunburn all across my forehead and my nose, and I am paying for it. But much like, TCU this weekend, the Rangers won opening day, got to see the banner revealed. It was well worth it.
Nice. That's
Did get to
awesome.
miss talking ball with you guys, but some things you can't miss out on.
That's right.
Speaking of this weekend at TCU, they swept Houston. They're back in the
Yeah.
win column. They're now 5-7 in conference play, which still wasn't good, but it's progress. We talked about this before. Let's kind of just talk about the weekend as a whole. What give me your just overall thoughts, Carson.
My overall thoughts, I mean, it's just you can't complain about a sweep. No matter where you look, even if it's against a team that kind of hasn't faced a lot of competition so far. Houston's pitching is a decent pitching team. Like, even when you look at some of their marquee matchups, they've done pretty well against.
Yeah,
So I was
Houston had
really
the best ERA, did they not, in
they
the Big
did
12?
best ERA in the Big 12, and I believe fifth in the nation. So that's definitely something, I mean, definitely something to make note of, seeing as TCU kind of dominated that pitching staff.
Yeah, it was a good weekend. It was a weird weekend. One that kind of at times we got some bad news throughout the weekend with players injuries that we'll kind of talk about it here in a bit,
Yeah.
and but. The overall thing is, TCU won, and they won Friday and Saturday. They won convincingly. Sunday they needed, a typical
Right.
comeback, but hey, they came back and won, and that's kind of all you can ask from them.
Yep.
Let's just jump into game one. TCU won 14-1 off of a Luis Rodriguez masterclass pitching performance. Offense was clearly clicking on all cylinders. It was You kind of saw the lineup, right? And you kind of looked at it and you were like, hey, what's this? I haven't seen this offense in a while, or a lot of these names, or Chad at third base.
Yeah.
What'd you take from game one? Was it more the lineup or the Luis Rodriguez?
I think, unfortunately, I think it was the lineup. As much as I love to talk big about TCU pitching, and not to discredit him or anything, 8 innings scoreless with only, I believe, 2 hits, I believe,
Yes.
in his 8 innings. Yeah, I mean, you can't ask for any more, but kind of the hitting lineup kind of finally showed up. That's the TCU hitting staff that we thought that we were going to get at the beginning of the season whenever they won 13 straight. Now, I will say, like, as I was sitting there, like, top of the fourth inning, I was kind of envisioning how this game was going to go because the TCU offense didn't look as good as later in the game. So I was kind of like, okay, is this going to be another, seventh, eighth, ninth inning comeback? Is this going to be a game where TCU loses by 1 or 2 runs or something like that because they can't get it going? But I mean, a four spot in the fourth inning started by Brunson and then followed up on by Robinson with a double scoring two. I mean, that's kind of just what sparked that lineup.
Yeah, we've kind of talked about a little bit all season that it's kind of been the freshman doing it all, and Friday night was no exception to that.
Yeah.
It was just a dominant performance by the two freshmen that you kind of expect to see.
Chase Brunson 3 for 5, Ryder Robinson 2 for 5, both with 3 RBIs. I mean, that's I mean, what more can you ask for?
Yeah, and then I mean, you had another freshman in there who made his first real appearance this season, and Camden Sauce at the DH spot, and he did his job.
Yeah, 2 for 4 with a walk.
Yeah, you saw a lot of different things kind of get thrown out there, and we've kind of seen that happen throughout the midweek where Kirk will try different things, but to try it on a you know what was a Friday night game on Thursday night was kind of interesting to see.
Yeah, so whenever we were talking to him after the game, he was talking about how, those guys that you haven't seen yet are going to get more and more opportunities. He mentioned one person. I don't remember. I don't think he named him, but he mentioned one person that was sick that weekend who would have started on Saturday, I believe, at the DH spot. We also saw Dallin Leach get his first career hit as a Frog. Congrats to him. Double into the right center gap. Love that. I honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing him in the lineup more. He put a really good swing on it. It looks pure.
I think you're looking at a problem where we kind of talked about the offense being a little stagnant, and sometimes when it becomes stagnant, you need to insert some fresh blood, no matter how much of a reliable starter was in their position. Hey, maybe a day off or sitting in, a game or two can help them and give someone else
Yeah.
some game, reliability that maybe that we need later in the season. A few things I want to talk about before we move on to game two is we did kind of glance over Louis, and I do just want to give that man a massive shout out.
Yeah.
Eight innings pitched, three hits allowed, actually not two, 10 strikeouts, no walks, no hit by
Yeah.
pitches, 89 pitches only is all he needed for eight innings. And he looked
That's
good.
nuts, by the way. 89 pitches?
Yeah.
If any MLB, any college player does that in like 95 pitches, that's making a headline. That's insane.
Yeah. I believe maybe if he even went out there for the ninth, he could have, got a Maddux going
Oh,
under
I
100
think.
pitches.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. No, his he talked about it after the game. His slider, and just his off-speed stuff is so disgusting. I mean, he said that slider is his go-to pitch, and we saw why Friday night.
Yeah, we've talked about it multiple times here on the podcast, and even at games when you and I are watching, is that Louis, when his slider's on and his off speed's on, he's one of the best pitchers in the country. And I'll stand by that. I will defend that
Oh no,
take for
that's
as long as possible.
yeah.
But I do feel like we need to give a shout out to Nate, because Nate was the one that was advocating 2 weeks ago to see
Yeah,
Louis in the lineup.
he was. He was.
We have a normal question segment that we do later, but I do have two questions for you right now that I just kind of want to get your thoughts on.
All right.
So the game series was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, right? And we saw Louis get the opening start on Thursday. Do you think that was
Right.
just that way Peyton Tolley got his normal routine in on a Friday start? Or do you think it was just, so he had that extra day of rest? Or what do you think it was?
I think it was just because he needed the extra day of rest. Because I mean,
Over
100.
130 pitches.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I can tell you from experience that's gonna do a lot to your arm. And as big of a factor as he is in TCU's like strengths and weaknesses right now, I don't think you can play around with, giving him one less day to recover. Like, I feel like you have to have him at 100% every single weekend.
I do kind of like it. I like that we saw Louis there, and get a start, opening weekend start. And then my other question for you though is Peyton Chatagnier, third base, only the second time in his entire career that he's
Yeah.
ever played third base. He told us on Saturday after the game that Sarlos was asking him, "Hey, have you ever played some third before?" And he was like, "Oh yeah, all the time." And he had never really played third. You know how ball players do.
That's like the LSU player from a few years ago that hit the home run and didn't take it at bat in high school.
That's exactly what it was. But Chat, what do you like about third base there?
I do. No, that's the defense you have to take going forward. Chatagnier, if he's healthy, at third, Silva at short, Ryder Robinson at second, and then either Curtis Byrne or Carson Bowen at first base. I think that's your dream infield for every week.
Yeah, I kind of like it there. And I believe you were saying that Kirk explained the reasoning behind it. Did you want to go ahead and say it again?
Oh yeah, just because So he talked about how Ryder Robinson has more of an arm moving away from first base. And then he also said that Chatagnier has a better arm whenever he's moving towards first base. And so basically they decide to switch him. And that was, I mean, so now you've got two strengths in the infield that are working in sync, you know?
Yeah. The only issues I kind of had with it is, when you talk about rolling double plays, which surprisingly TCU doesn't do as often. When you talk about rolling double plays though, it's kind of hard to be able to build that chemistry right in the middle of the season with the new second baseman for Anthony Silva at shortstop.
Yeah, I do think that's going to take a little bit of time to actually maybe not be game ready because, I mean, Chatagnier is a dog anywhere you put him in the infield. Like, he's going to make plays, but I do think that, like, the timing might be a little bit weird for a couple weeks.
Yeah, I just think it's something to keep an eye on if we see maybe a botched double play, but he's a
Yeah.
college ball player, so I'm sure they'll figure it out and they'll get their reps.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
Let's go to move on to game two. TCU 162, Peyton Tolley, oh my! And for the second game in a row, TCU had the same exact lineup, which we haven't seen done, I believe, since the first series of the season against Florida Gulf Coast was the last time we saw the
Yeah.
same lineup back-to-back games.
Yep.
Peyton
I mean, I
Tolley
think
was let me just talk you through his stats real quick. Peyton Tolley, 8.2 innings pitched. He couldn't get the last out. 3 hits, 2 runs, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, 13 strikeouts, 1 hit by pitch, 127 pitches. That's 250 combined pitches in the last 2 games.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if Kirk decides to like. So hang on. How many pitches did Cole Klecker throw? Let me look at that real quick.
I got you right here.
70. He threw
Yeah.
70 pitches. I wonder if we're gonna see another shift. Like, I wonder if he's gonna put like if he's gonna let Louis go another Friday night and then Klecker Saturday. And then Tolley on Sunday. Because I mean, like you said, that's 250 pitches in the span of 13 days. I mean, am I crazy for thinking they do it again?
I assume we just go Louis Friday and Tolley Saturday,
You
right?
think so?
Because it was a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series, right? So if you slot them with that extra day of rest for all of them.
Okay. I guess, yeah, okay. I guess they will have an extra day either way.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what we're gonna get this weekend.
Because I spoke with I spoke with Tolley after the game, and he said, "Hey, my arm's definitely feeling it today." Like,
Yeah.
and not in a bad way. Like, obviously you expect his arm to be a little bit dead after 127 pitches,
Yeah.
but it still worries you, like that's still a lot of strain on the arm. And I know the guy's a
Yeah.
competitor and doesn't want to be taken out, but
No, I get it.
you had a 6-0 lead, right? Going into the ninth inning, and I believe, let's see, he ended up facing 7 batters in that game or that last inning. And I get, he wants to go out there and close that game, but that could have saved him, let's say, 3 pitches per batter. Like, he could have been at 100 pitches on the game, right? It's just a little bit
Yeah.
of, stress release on the arm.
I do think that I do think that this week I definitely wouldn't have let him go out for the ninth, I think. Because he was already at I think he was already at 100 when he was going into the ninth inning.
Yeah.
Right. So I think I go to Zachary Coyer there, who eventually came in relief. I mean, I don't know. I'll have to pick his brain about it next time he talks to us, for sure.
Yeah, I think it's just something that, like, obviously you want your guy to go out there and you want to give him the support that he needs whenever he wants to close out the game and he's pitching so well, but
Yeah.
Kirk's very big, I guess, because Kirk's very big on winning the game at hand, right? Like, he's like, you can't worry about tomorrow till tomorrow. So,
Right.
might be the reasoning behind it. I do, want to give a major shout out to Peyton Tolley. He's essentially turned his season around. Not that he was pitching horribly or bad, it's just he went from being, hey, he's been solid to, hey, he's one of the best pitchers in the country.
Yeah.
And he's doing it by limiting his walks. You know what we talked about, that if he went from, because he went from averaging 3 walks a game to, barely, like last week allowed no walks, this week one. It's so much better for him, and he's proving it on the mound.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so went from against UCLA and USC in that 2 week span, he had 8 walks, and in 4 starts, he has 6. So that's a major, major, major improvement on his numbers for walks for sure. I think that's definitely limited his pitch count as well. Like, I think that if you leave him in, whenever he's walking guys, he's probably at like 140, 150 pitches if you're leaving him in.
It's it's just one of those that he's not really doing anything different. He said that himself, that nothing he's doing is any different than what he was doing at the beginning of the season.
Right.
He just said he's kind of just catching his stride and becoming comfortable again. And we talked about the last 2 weeks, and even more so on Saturday or Friday when we were both there at the game watching. He's so animated. He seems to be having fun again, enjoying the game. Like, we didn't really see much of that prior to the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'll always stand by pitchers that like show emotion on the mound, as I've said on this podcast before. Like, that's one of my favorite things to see.
As as far for the offensive production in that game, again, Chase Brunson single up the middle, Maxwell single up the middle, Carson Bowen sacrifice fly, Chase Brunson single up the middle RBI, Anthony Silva single up the middle, and then Chase Brunson walked in a run. The boys are just kind of getting it done, right? Like, it wasn't anything too flashy. We kind of saw like the classic, Lupton boys kind of situation. They're working counts, they're gritty at bats, and they're getting it done.
Yeah, it was just playing baseball the way it's supposed to be played. I mean, that was moving runners over, getting sac flies when you need them. I mean, that's the typical frog ball that we see a lot of.
Yeah, I think it was just something good to see from the team. So going to move on to game three. TCU won 6-4 in that matchup. It was a Cole Klecker start day. Frogs were trailing 4-2 going into the seventh inning before a four-run seventh inning that propelled them to a victory. Cole Klecker on the mound. He ended his day with 5 hits, 3 runs, 3 earned runs, only 4.1 inning pitch, no walks, 5 strikeouts, and 70 pitches in that time span. Carson, how you feeling about Cole Klecker start that game?
So I do want to point out that one of the errors occurred during his outing that resulted in a run. The no walks is good, but I think we're kind of seeing not necessarily a hangover from last year's success, but I think more guys have started to catch on to his arm slot and have started to catch on to his off-speed stuff. Because last year, his curveball was pretty dominant. Like, if he got home runs hit on him, it was because of his fastball that was just left up high. But his curveball was essentially untouchable. I think guys are starting to see that out of his hand better. Now, if you're asking me if I'm concerned, I don't know that I'm concerned yet. If he has another outing where it's like he's not locating very well and he's getting hit around a little bit, I'll be concerned, but I'm really not right now.
Yeah, I Klecker's last 2 starts have gone bumpy, and it seems like Kirk kind of pulls the string out from under him before he can either completely have a bad start or, right the ship and be able to get right with it, which I think is good for his confidence right now. just because you don't want to ruin it. But I think it's just his off-speed seems to just be a little flat and left in the zone too much. And I think, that's a correction that, Clicker can correct, and he's going to be just fine, right?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at his past starts, I mean, it's just been one inning. It's the blow up inning that we've talked about. Like, that's just kind of what it is.
Yeah, and that's kind of just been the thing over and over, but it feels like this one wasn't even a blow up inning on his fault, like his part. You know what, it's just like feels bad for the man.
I mean, it was also one of, I think, actually, no. So in the fifth inning, first hit was like up the middle, I believe. The second hit, no. First hit was a bloop into right field, like right behind first base. Second hit was like a grounder up the middle. And then third hit, I think, was hit pretty hard in that inning. So I mean, it might just be baseball gods not liking Cole on
Yeah.
Saturdays. I don't know.
Yeah, and I really do truly think that he's gonna be just fine.
Oh yeah, I'm not worried.
He's gonna be, it's Cole Klecker we're talking about.
Yeah.
And he's gonna figure it out regardless. The offense capitalized on production, right? Or mistakes that Houston made. A few errors, a few balls hit TCU's way, and it allowed them to kind of turn this game around and go from just winning to series to sweeping the series, right? The TCU way pretty much is basically what it is.
Yeah, so Friday they had four errors. I mean, that's obviously resulting in probably three or four runs. The errors that Houston made on Saturday, like, that cost them the game. They win that game like 4-2 if they don't make those errors. We were talking in the press box after, or as the last out was being recorded, and the media person for Houston that was there, he was like, yeah, this is exactly how we lost both Thursday and how we lost against, I believe it was OU that they played.
Yeah.
Either way, he was like, yeah, this is mirror mirror for that same inning, that same blow up inning.
Yeah, I mean, do you feel for Houston there? Just kind of like hoping to get one away, sneak it away,
No,
especially as a
make
new team.
plays. No, what?
No, you feel for Houston because it's like
No, what?
you got destroyed for Thursday. You
Play
got
defense.
destroyed Friday.
Play defense.
I can't even say that because TCU's defense has been
Oh.
struggling as much too, right?
Wow. JD doesn't want TCU baseball to win. Breaking news,
Hey,
everybody.
before this weekend, TCU baseball wasn't winning. So, yes, it's just
No,
this is a
I don't.
new feature to me. I don't know what to do.
No, on a more serious note, I don't feel for the Houston's team. I do feel for the players, I
I feel for
guess.
the pitching is what I'm saying. 'Cause like the
Oh, the
pitching Sunday
pitching.
was lights
Oh
out. That
no.
was the pitching you've expected to kind of see.
Well, so that's the pitching that we expected to see from hang on. I'm finding it. Oh gosh. Oh yeah, okay. That's the pitching performance that we expected to see from Antoine Jean. Like, that's what I thought he was going to be like. But no, TCU came right out of the gate and just hit him around the yard.
Yeah. I don't know. It is a good weekend for the boys. I don't want to drill on me saying that I feel for Houston too much, but the team did what they needed to, right? And that's kind of what we said for them. It was kind of a big weekend going into this weekend. You had to get on track right.
Yeah. So I will say the two hits concerns me, because I believe I said last week or the preview for this past weekend that I worry about high velo with this team. High velo, anything pretty much above 93 to 94 in that 95 to 97 range, TCU really struggles with. I think we saw one high velo guy against in that played for OU. that sat about 94, 96 that TCU couldn't touch.
Yeah, and you've been on that since the beginning of the season, and it was just emphasized so much more on that or Saturday game.
I worry about it a little bit. Just because we haven't seen like LeBaron Johnson. We haven't seen him yet. I can't think of any of the guys that are high velo in the conference off the top of my head. But I mean, if we face one of those guys and their stuff is working that day, it might be a long day for TCU. That's all I'm saying. Just keep an eye on
It
it.
just might be something that like they're not seeing a lot of it now. So, of course it's a little bit of a shock whenever they do see it. All right. Anything else you want to talk about for the weekend? We'll kind of move on a little bit.
No. Yeah, good weekend. Let's move on.
All right. It's time for some questions. All right. The injury bug's kind of hitting the team, Carson. And we've already got two long-term injuries kind of right now. Which do you think is kind of, more is worse for the team? Kyle Ayers being done for the season or Brody Green being week to week and potentially at least 2 weeks from playing right now?
I'll be honest, I read this question before we started this podcast and I didn't think about it at all. Give me a second. I'm always big on pitching, so I think it's Kyle Ayers. As much as you probably are wishing that I didn't say that. Because Kyle Ayers is a guy that sits 94, 96 for the Frogs. He's a relief guy, predominantly. And I think like I feel like he's gonna be worse long term. Like especially when you get into like say TCU makes Big 12 tournament, NCAA tournament, like that's the kind of arm that can usually give you like two or three innings if needed, just because he's a higher velo guy.
Do you want to guess my answer for this one?
No.
It's actually, it's Kyle Ayers.
Really?
I am agreeing with that.
Wait.
And the reason I'm kind of am agreeing with it is it's a twofold kind of reason. One, you throw Brody Green back in the lineup, and let's say he comes back in 2 weeks and the lineup is scorching hot. Who are you taking out? You can't take out Shat at third. Maybe you throw him in a DH spot, but Peyton Tolley's still gonna get his DH, attempts. Yeah, Camden Sauce, who was playing well. You still got Jack Passier. You got a lot of guys that need a lot of at bats. And while Brody Green is, I am the biggest Brody Green supporter. I think it's just easier, at least on the lineup construction side, while he's out and while he maintains being healthy, because injuries are going to continue to happen, right? He's going to have his time to be in the lineup, but. Like you said, Kyle Ayers is a fast bowler, and TCU kind of lacks that in the bullpen a lot. And whenever, now your only other really high 95 plus guy besides Hunter Hodges, who's also dealing with an oblique injury, is Mason Bixby, who's a true freshman. You're going against a team in a high leverage situation where they struggle against velo, but you got to throw a true freshman out there. No matter how good the true freshman is, it's still a true freshman, and it's still a scary situation, right?
I mean, with Mason Bixby, I would just worry about the off speed. I mean, we haven't seen it consistent yet, which I'm sure that that's the number one thing that he's working on because he has the fastball. Like that doesn't need to be touched.
I think it's just something that like you can never have too many arms, right? Your lineup's gonna be your lineup every day. You only got nine spots, but your bullpen, you can go to any single one at any time, right? And it's just kind of something that you don't want to see kind of going on right now. Let's go ahead and move on to the next question. We kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but I want to go into a little bit more depth with that. TCU might have found their 1-2 punch. They definitely found their one in Peyton Tolley. Potentially have found their number two going forward in Louis Rodriguez. Are we worried about Klecker yet? We've talked about maybe taking Zach Morris out of the rotation. We talked about Peyton Tolley having his struggles. It's only fair that we talk about Klecker and his struggles. Like maybe there's a chance that he slots to a midweek game, a little confidence. Are you worried about him at all?
I'm I'll reiterate. I'm not worried about him yet. I just think that he's a guy that you can throw out there and you're gonna get a solid game, I feel like. I know these past 2 weekends haven't really shown that, but I mean, again, like I said, it's just been the blow up inning. And we've seen what he can do when his stuff is clicking and when he's got a defense behind him, right? I mean, that's an easy 6 innings. Easy.
I'm not worried about him yet. I will say I'm on the border of being more concerned about his confidence moving forward than I am about his pitching ability. Just because you know better than anyone as a pitcher that after a while, when you just haven't had a good start in a long time, it really starts to do something to your mental capacity of being able to stay in that positive mindset. And while his starts haven't been bad, he hasn't been the clucker that TCU fans have came to, know and love, right?
Right. Yeah, I wonder who do you think Sarlos throws out there right now? Say Klecker takes a bullpen position for a weekend.
Ben Hampton.
Hampton.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
You've
kind
thrown
of.
Braden Sloan in that spot. You haven't thrown Ben Hampton in a weekend role yet. He's a veteran pitcher from West Virginia. He knows the conference. He knows how to be there in the spot. Like, I think it just makes sense for him.
Yeah, I do like that you touch on like veteran personality right there. I think that he would know how to pitch against guys that are maybe returning.
I do think this upcoming weekend is a big start for Klecker do facing a Cincinnati offense who has showed a lot of signs of struggling recently.
Right.
All right, last question before we go into the Big 12. Is TCU still the favorite to win the conference? The conference as a whole, which we will get into after this, is kind of all over the place right now, right? Do you think TCU still remains the
Yeah.
favorite?
So we're sitting at 5-7 right now. I touched on it. Kind of just thinking about it today, and I actually also touched about it in an article where I wrote about Luis Rodriguez. He won Big 12 Pitcher of the Week this past weekend. If they sweep Cincinnati, you're sitting at 8-7. Oklahoma is 7-2 at the top of the conference, and they just got swept by
Lamar.
Lamar. So
Hey, don't sleep on Lamar though.
no, that's what I was getting to. Hang on, hang on.
Hey, I didn't want to hear the slander. I'm sorry. I might have
Lamar's a
jumped the
good
gun.
team. Lamar's a good team. Like they can hit,
Yeah.
man. It's fun to watch that team.
Yeah.
But Oklahoma's sitting at 7-2 at the top of the Big 12, but they're 15-12 overall. So I mean, they've lost some games. So I don't think that we're favored, but I do think TCU, if they sweep Cincinnati, I really do think that they can make a shot at winning the entire Big 12.
Yeah, I think TCU has a favorable schedule moving forward enough to where that they are still the favorites to win the conference. You got Tech, who's major league. You got Cincinnati next weekend. Tech's been struggling a lot recently, and you got them at home. Then you go to Texas, and then you got Kansas State, Baylor, and West Virginia. You kind of got a mini gauntlet coming up in Texas Tech, Texas K-State, but then you get Baylor and West Virginia that. I think it's favorable for them. And as
Well,
far as
hey,
like,
we don't know if Baylor's good or not yet.
I don't know if half the teams in the conference are good or not, Carson. You know what? Let's just dive into the conference real quick, okay? Is the Big 12 conference good or bad, Carson? I need you to tell me. No, maybe they're good, maybe they're bad. I need you to tell me right now, definitively, is this a good conference or a bad conference?
right, if I can only choose good or bad, I think we're good. If I can insert a third answer, I think we're mid. I think each team has their struggles. I think each team has their strengths. But I don't see, like last year, you could look at the Big 12, you could look at Oklahoma State, Texas, and TCU. And you could be like, yeah, those teams have been in the postseason before. They can make a run at a title. But when I look at this year's, I don't see a team where I'm like, Yeah, you're going to Omaha. Yeah, you're going to win the Big 12 championship. Yeah, you're going to host a regional. Like, I just don't see that out of any team.
Let me tell you the standings right now for every team with the Big 12 record.
I've
Oklahoma 7-2, Kansas State,
Yeah.
Texas 6-3, Kansas 7-5. Hey, they're technically got the most wins at the conference, but middle of the pack winning percentage. Oklahoma State, West Virginia 5-4, UCF 6-6, Cincinnati 4-5, TCU, Texas Tech, Baylor 5-7, and Houston and BYU at 4-8. It tells me this is a league of parity and mid.
Yeah.
I think TCU and UCF are maybe your favorites to win the conference right now. And obviously Texas is in there because it's Texas's name, but Texas has a lot of pitching issues they need to figure out.
Texas has relief pitching issues. I will
If
say
you
those.
combine TCU and Texas in a one team, they'd be unstoppable.
Oh, it's no, that's right, one team.
You know, technically, depending on the where you look, the Big 12 doesn't even have a team ranked right now.
Yeah, UCF is the only team.
Yeah, if you go by D1 baseball, and then there's some publications that don't have D1 baseball or have UCF ranked at all.
There
Like,
were now.
let me give you a little situation real quick, Carson. All
All
right,
right.
I'm gonna give you three teams, right?
Okay.
Team A, a 593 win percentage, 8-8 versus top 100 RPI teams. Their pitching has a 5.97 team ERA and is hitting 275 as a team. Team B, 623 win percentage, 2-8 versus top 100 RPI. Pitching has a 5.29 team ERA and hitting a 276 as a team. Team 3, 650 win percentage, 9-7 versus top 100 RPI. They're hitting 283 as a team and has a piv and have a pitching ERA of 4.56. One of those teams is a top 10 team. One of those teams is a top 25 team. And one of those teams is unranked. Can you tell me the teams? Can you tell me the teams?
So I, all right, I'll play your game. I'll play your game. Team three, I think, is you said ranked in the top 10.
One of them. I didn't say which one. One of
I
them,
know, I know, I
yeah.
know. Yeah,
One of them is
okay.
ranked top 10, one is top 25, one is unranked.
I'm gonna say the last team is ranked. Top 10. I'm gonna say, give me the ERAs of team one and two.
Team one two, is a 5.97, and team two is a 5.29.
I'm gonna say team two is top 25, and I'm gonna say team one is unranked.
No. So, team three, this team you said was top 10, right? They're unranked.
Okay. All
They're
right.
unranked.
All right.
650 winning percentage, 9-7. 9-7 against top 100 RPI, hitting 283 and pitching 4.56. Team one that is ranked top 10. 593 win percentage, 8-8 versus top 100 RPI, 5.97 team ERA, and a 275 batting average. They're top 10.
Okay.
Team 2, 623 win percentage, 2-8 versus top 100 RPI, 5.29 team ERA, and a 276 batting average is top 25. Team 1 is Florida.
Okay.
Team 2, who is top 25, is Wake Forest. And team 3, who is not ranked, is TCU.
Wow.
So when you look at it like that, maybe the Big 12 isn't mid.
I mean, you can look at, I mean, well, you can't just say big, you can't name one team in the Big 12 and then say they're all not mid.
Yeah, but if TCU is playing hard against these teams and has better statistics versus the other teams in the
I
conference.
mean, so when I'm looking at the Big 12 conference as a whole, real quick, I mean, all of these teams have winning records besides Baylor and then besides BYU. So I mean that obviously tells me, well, multiple are near 20 wins, like TCU. Texas Tech is at 19, UCF 18. UCF, I really like watching, by the way.
Yeah,
They are
they're
very
a
fun to
whole lot
watch.
of fun.
Oklahoma State at 18 wins, Kansas State at 18 wins. I mean, the Big 12 out of conference has done very well, but it could be a scenario like 2022 with Big 12 football, where it's just every team is good.
Yeah. I don't know. I think It's the tough decision the committee's gonna have to look at because you know the SEC bias is real right now. The ACC looks good, but that's all just they look good because there's a number next to them.
Yeah.
You put the ACC games with unranked names, they're just Big 12 games to them, right? Like they're
Right.
good games. I don't know. All right, let's not waste too much time. We still have to talk a UTA preview. It will not be a long preview though because this is the second time TCU is playing UTA this season. This time it's in Arlington, Tuesday at 6 o'clock. And honestly, not much has changed with TCU or UTA or either team, really.
No.
UTA is still going to be led by Tyson Pointer, who's leading the team with a .310 batting average. Parker Earhart, the catcher, is still going to be pacing the squad with 6 home runs and 19 RBIs. Like, this is still the same UTA team that TCU beat 7-3 on March 19th, just 3 weeks ago, or 2 weeks ago, actually.
Yeah, so I mean, that game that ended 7-3, but you got to remember TCU had a four spot in like the eighth inning that allowed them to pull ahead. Like that was a close game until that, you know?
No, I think you're thinking of. I think it was it not?
Hang on,
I
let me
think it
see.
was 6-0 TCU, and then UTA put up a 4 spot.
Oh, you're saying it might have been like a late
It was a late
comeback.
push from UTA,
Okay, hang on.
but they never came back. I think TCU, because Curtis Byrne hit a home
Let
run, and
me.
then Ryder Robinson hit that home run.
You're right. You're right. It was 4-0. Then UTA came back. Then TCU came right back. Okay, I
Yeah.
got you. Yeah, I mean TCU should handle their business. TCU normally handles their business on midweek games. I mean.
I'm gonna say something, and you're gonna be mad at me.
Okay.
TCU hasn't lost a midweek game yet.
I mean, I don't know why you said it.
Because I think it's just something to note. You know, you look at
Do you just like seeing the world burn?
no, like, I
Is
think it's
that
just
fun to you?
sometimes, but I think it's just we're the opposite Florida, right? We don't
Yeah.
lose our midweeks. We struggle on the weekend series.
Yeah, I mean, comparatively, yeah. Florida does not do well in their midweek games. I think they're are they playing right now? No,
They
they're not.
shouldn't
They
be. It's a Monday.
play tomorrow. LSU, number 18 in the country, is currently being beat by Southern 3-2. So that's something to watch tonight. LSU's kind of had that problem as well. As
Yeah.
the SEC in the midweeks are just weird.
Yeah.
I
And
don't like
you would think TCU would lose a midweek with how much they do a bullpen game. It's a completely different lineup and, you know, team thrown out there basically.
Well, I mean, I think a bullpen game increases the difficulty
It increases
against other teams because you're facing a different arm every inning.
Yeah, it increases the
Which
difficulty, but I think it's like it's one of those that like there's not been it was supposed to be Ben Hampton starting every midweek, right?
right.
And then we've kind of seen that thrown away, and not to increase the difficulty against opponents, it's just like Kirk just wants to try out new things.
Right.
I don't know. I think I TCU should be fine. They've only lost one game in the last 10 games against UTA. It's their first mid or second midweek road game of the season. They were at DBU.
Yeah.
Kind of forget that one. But I think it's interesting to see, like, I assume we're not going to see any Shat out there because he's still going to be messing with his or bothered by his leg. I think it's important to see if we see Carson Bowen out there because I think right now he needs the reps a little bit. He's still struggling at the plate.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing him DH this
Yeah.
game.
But I mean, we saw it last time against UTA too. They kind of have no velocity. So like,
He, I will say Carson Bowen has started to show signs of
yeah.
being that hitter from last year. I think he had, let me go look real quick. I believe he had like three hits to the opposite field. So that I was super excited about. Yeah, two
Yeah.
for four Thursday. 0 for 2 with a walk on Friday, and then I'm not sure what he did Saturday. I don't have it
Yeah,
pulled up.
it seems like Carson Bowen's just biggest problem right now is he's like, when runners are in scoring position, that's when he presses. But if no one's on base, he's taking way better at bats. So,
Yeah, I think so too, actually. Yeah, that's a good point.
I think it'd be good to see him just in the lineup, just in a DH spot, kind of give him a nice little, you know, slight day off. Let him just get some reps out there.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I'm looking at this right now, just real quick before we wrap things up, Luke Boyers, welcome to the batting 300 club.
Yep.
Big weekend from that guy.
Yeah, we haven't seen much Sam Myers lately because it's all been Luke Boyers.
Also, Chase Brunson, welcome back to the 300. Cool. All right. We've got four guys batting over 300. Sam Myers hitting 290 right behind him.
Yeah.
Hey. And
then you got Logan Maxwell, who's still doing his thing quietly, right?
Yes, sir, baby.
Still the only one on the team without a home run, which is
Love
so
Logan
odd
Maxwell.
To me.
Love him. God.
Yeah.
He's so cool.
Logan Maxwell versus Brody Green fight. We'll settle it up one day.
Oh my God. Wait, we could just make that an entire segment. That'd be so cool.
Yeah. Who's the better player? Yeah. We'll let Nate officiate that one.
There you go.
All right. Anything else you want to touch on before we close this one out? This has been one of our longer episodes, actually.
That's been fun. No, I think I'm good. I'm very interested to see if TCU can get back into winning Big 12 record. That'd be fun to see. I think there's currently hail going on my car, so probably need to throw a blanket on it or something.
Yeah.
You know what? We'll just roll with the punches.
Yeah. So speaking of this weekend about getting back in a winning series, we will be once again joined by Brett, and Nate will be back. Brett is actually from Cincinnati, so he will be at the games. And we will also be doing, it's a slight Cincinnati preview and a little bit of a recap of UTA, but it's the midweek or the midseason. I've kept calling it the midweek every time, but it's the midseason review. We're kind of going to look back, talk about some stuff we said during the beginning of the season, see where we went, and we'll go from there. But thank you guys for listening. Carson, as always, it was a pleasure to have you on, and I'll see you guys Thursday.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.